Welcome to the Are You Awesome Today podcast. I am your host, Stephen Shaner, and you are invited to join us weekly as we talk with successful people who will share with us their personal and professional experiences that have taken them from great to awesome. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Are You Awesome Today podcast. I am your host, Stephen Shaner, the Attitude Chiropractor. Joining me today is Kathleen Osta. Kathleen is the president of Vital Clarity. She is a professional at facilitation. Kathleen, welcome to the podcast. Are you awesome today?
Hi, Stephen. Of course I am.
I love that answer. Thanks so much. Our topic today is the profession of facilitation. Kathleen, tell us how you gained a passion for doing facilitation type work and leading your life in that direction.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Well, I grew up professionally in the nonprofit sector and working with families who had children, young and older children with disabilities. I was in public relations and fundraising, and there was something about, and I was on an administrative council where we had to do a lot of planning together. And there was something about just realizing that I wanted to translate what I knew innovations were happening in the private sector down to the nonprofit sector. And I just knew there was applications to what they were doing for us. I just had these inklings that there was a way to tap into what people already knew to help them find their own answers. So if you asked the right kind of questions or gave them the right kind of a process, people could figure out their own way forward to developing good plans and doing good work together. I started making stuff up. and in the course of doing that, I joined a professional organization in Phoenix at the time and learned about an organization called the Institute of Cultural Affairs who had designed those processes. So I didn't need to keep making them up. I took a two-day training, and it was called then Group Facilitation Methods. And I just got hooked. It was just, I call it top fever. The methodology is called the technology of participation. And I just thought, this is the best thing since sliced bread. And this is also what I meant to do.
That's a great story. Okay, so here's the big question. What is facilitation? And how is it different from, say, training or teaching and those other things, coaching?
Right. Yeah, good question. It isn't just a black and white kind of a thing. The kind of facilitation that I am an advocate of is where the facilitator, that's the person who designs the meeting with the client and designs the process steps and doesn't bring their own content. So I maintain a neutral stance and don't generate or add my content. I invite everyone in the room to pour in everything they know about whatever the topic is so that they can identify the discrete points of alignment so they can then lean on those and work together in unison to really produce meaningful outcomes. So that's one way of thinking of facilitation. But I will tell you, since I started, when I started 30 years ago, there were only like three approaches. And there are dozens now, all of which have a lot of validity, but they are not the same. And so I often say it's kind of like ask somebody their definition of marriage. You know, everyone has a different angle on it. And the same is true for facilitation. But the, you know, the root of the word is facile, which is to make easy. So the idea is to figure out, you know, where are we trying to go and what's going to be the easiest way to get there? And people, by and large, really enjoy making contributions. People love to be asked what their opinion is or what their ideas are. But what we haven't always had is a way to gather them all to find out where the commonalities lie. And that's what the process that I use does. And people are quite pleasantly surprised. And if you lean on and focus on where the alignment is, it actually ends up in a side door kind of way, addressing some of the dissonance that might have been a stumbling block in the past.
when I've been a facilitator in the past, I'd always been assigned to a group whose expertise I knew nothing about.
Yes.
I think is an ideal situation. So my job was kind of to make sure people are participating and to make sure to keep them objective, because sometimes a group of people work together can be very, you know, think the same way and, well, we've done it this way before, that won't work, those types of things. What can we do to make sure that we have good participation from everyone?
Well, quite a lot. One thing is to make whatever you ask inviting, you know, to create an atmosphere of invitation and make sure people understand there are no wrong answers and that it's okay to repeat what someone else says, and that there's a way of shaping questions and sequencing questions so that you start with easy ones so people aren't intimidated, but you're also starting at easy ones because you want to get some raw data. You want to get objective information on the table. So if a group is going to be discussing a report or an evaluation or an assessment of their organization, for example, you want to make sure everybody really digested it. And so you start by finding out what stood out to people. And if you're the head of one department and someone else is the head of another one, well, you're going to be paying closer attention to your department's content than you will somebody else's. But in this review as an organization, you want to be paying attention to all of it. So you want to ask people, what did stand out? What are the, you know, key points that were made in this report? What do we want to be sure to not miss? You know, you get to hear diverse perspectives. That's valuable, but you just need to hear all of them. And then you kind of start drilling down and saying, well, what's the good news here? And what was more challenging? And what was surprising? And where are our blind spots? And therefore, what does it mean we're going to want to consider doing and talk about possibilities? And then you get to the decision. And see, there are a lot of people that want to start with the decision. And that's where dissonance occurs. And that's where disagreements erupt, because people aren't often operating off of the same information.
Very true. And then on the other side of that coin, keeping the team's objective, what are some of your tips in that area?
Well, it kind of depends on the topic. They don't always have to be objective. They do have to be respectful in the way they share their perspective. So objectivity isn't always what's needed, but what is needed is being really responsive to what we're discussing, not going off on tangents and not dominating. And there's some art to that as well, as making sure all voices are heard. And there are quite a few things you can do about that, especially at the initial stages where you're hearing from everybody. And then you drill down and start asking just, you know, open-ended questions. All questions are open-ended, but you're asking an open-ended question that not everyone needs to answer, because you're asking thought-provoking questions and not just, you know, give me off the top of your head responses. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I really like the way you said that. Tell us a little bit about your company, Vital Clarity, and what you do there.
Oh, okay. Well, what I do the most is in-person facilitation. I've certainly learned how to do virtual and still can and do, but there's something about the synergy that occurs when a group of people are in the same physical space. I do a fair bit of strategic planning, and the adjective that precedes that is highly participatory strategic planning. So that goes back to what I said, where you're getting all perspectives woven together so people can move together in alignment. We start by creating a shared vision that's practical, often 3 years out, and finding out what is it that we want to say is true about our organization and our accomplishments 3 years from now. And that's a really encouraging place to start, because everyone really is carrying around hopes and dreams for their role or for the organization. And this is a way to merge them together, combine them, and integrate them so people really see the connectivity between what they do and what the other folks in the organization do. We start with a vision, and then we go back to take a look at what is it, like, why haven't we achieved the vision already? What is it about the way we function that won't get us there? And so that's a candid conversation and a process where people really, and everyone knows them, It's the kind of thing, though, contradictions are things we gloss over. We all have them. All organizations have them. All individuals have them. We have blind spots, but we tolerate them. We might know them, and we just never quite go after them. And many times, they're a recurring source of frustration that we've just learned to live with. But it also is what holds you back. So by having that kind of a conversation, people actually are relieved. It's not that fun to look at the way you've gotten in your own way, but it is freeing in that now that you've named it, you can do something about it. And so when the group comes to agreement on those things, and they're often similar for many organizations, then you shift to doing a brainstorm of what are the possible actions we might take to address those contradictions, because that in turn ensures that you'll reach the vision. If you get those obstacles and interferences out of the way and do some behavior changing, and in some cases it's paradigms that people have subscribed to unwittingly, but once they look at them and say, oh, that's not so helpful, and you can do things about that. And then once you've done that, you can then put a stake in the ground and say, okay, in these key areas of the organization, what are the projects, the measurable specific projects we want to go after for our first year? And we form teams and do that and keep, teams continue to meet briefly 1 hour a month just to stay on top of these projects that are really going to move the needle, as the saying goes, to getting them to achieving their vision.
Okay, let's say I just got a promotion and one of my new responsibilities is to facilitate this group, something I've never done before. What tips would you give a new facilitator?
The first thing I would do is suggest that I probably would give them a conversation to hold with the team so they can find out what the team thinks is important to get after. And then after they've had that conversation, and that conversation, by the way, is built on a natural thinking process that I've actually already alluded to, where you start with factual information. So maybe in the case of a person who's in a new role, they might say, so what are highlights of things we've accomplished in the last 6 months that you're proud of? And what are recurring sources of frustration that we never seem to be able to get around? And what does that mean then that we might consider is low-hanging fruit and priorities for us to work on? So having that kind of a conversation where there's really a level playing field and people really, as I said, feel invited to say what they really think and know that there won't be retribution, that will take that person a long way, the person who's in the new leadership role, to knowing where to start and how to perpetuate that camaraderie and that candidness and really creative thinking.
Very nice. What final thoughts do you have on facilitation? Maybe perhaps who can benefit from this concept?
Gosh, I haven't encountered a group that can't. I suppose it has some relationship to if you've got a hammer, everything you see looks like a nail. But, but it is how I see the world, because if in fact, in particular methods I use, I feel like it would make the world a better place if people learn this kind of information in high school and colleges, and it actually can be taught in college classrooms. It just would make a huge difference in knowing that it's okay to have diverse perspectives. Mm-hmm. There's a way to honor those mm-hmm. and use them to get us to this new place. I just think it isn't the answer, but it is a part of the answer to really undoing polarization and really learning to respect other perspectives so that we can go forward in unison.
Yeah, so true. Boy, it would be wonderful if I had the opportunity to learn this skill and these types of things earlier on in life.
Mm-hmm.
Made a big difference. I agree with that. If someone wanted to reach out to you, talk about facilitation, or have you come in and facilitate for them, how could they reach you?
They can reach me by calling my number, my cell phone, which is 828-231-5565, or go to my website, which is vitalclarity.com. And there's a fair bit of information on there about actually trainings that my colleagues offer and the different kinds of services. And I do facilitation coaching behind the scenes with, you know, through phone calls for people who have, like, I got a meeting coming up and I got to run this thing and I need a good outcome. Yeah, I'm happy to answer any questions people have.
Great. Excellent. Thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast. You certainly have added a large amount of value here. I've taken quite a few notes and I know the listeners will get some value from it as well. So thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Well, I appreciate the invitation. Thank you, Stephen.
All right, Kathleen, and for you and for everyone, have an awesome day.
You as well.
Thanks for joining us today. For more information about our podcasts and speakers, and for additional educational resources, connect with us at awesomeattitude.net. Until next time, be you and be awesome.